ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 20 entitled Pure Devotional Service Surpasses Knowledge and Detachment. Text number 12. Swargenopyaitam icchanti lokam nirainastatha sadhakam jnana bhakti bhyam ubhayam tad asadhakam. Swarginaha, the residents of the heavenly planets. Api, even. Etam, this. Ichhanti, desire. Lokam, earth planet. Nirayinaha, the residents of hell. Tatha, in the same way. Sadhakam, leading to achievement. Jnana Bhakti Bhyam, of transcendental knowledge and love of God. Ubhayam, both, heaven and hell. Tat, for that perfection. Asadhakam, not useful. Translation and purport by the followers of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The residents of both heaven and hell desire human birth on the earth planet because human life facilitates the achievement of transcendental knowledge and love of God, whereas neither heavenly or hellish bodies efficiently provide such opportunities. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami points out that in material heaven, one becomes absorbed in extraordinary sense gratification, and in hell, one is absorbed in suffering. In both cases, there is a little impetus to acquire transcendental knowledge or pure love of God. Excessive suffering or excessive enjoyment are thus impediments to spiritual advancement. ॐ अज्ञान्तिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्गायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणम्। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो दिस इज वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग वर्स, सेज हाउ द रेजिडेंट्स ऑफ बोथ हेवन एंड हेल डिजायर ह्यूमन बर्थ ऑन अर्थ प्लैनेट, एंड वी हैव ऑलरेडी गॉट दैट व्हाट दे डिजायर। सो इन दिस 20th चैप्टर, इट in the beginning verses, Uddhava is asking few questions to Krishna, and he is asking how human beings can attain perfection. So then Krishna replies that there are three paths to achieve this perfection. So three paths are Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. So then he describes all of them briefly, and finally that Bhakti Yoga is the topmost. So why if Bhakti Yoga is topmost, why does Krishna discuss all other paths? So that's one of the things to think about. So the actual answer is that people are at different level of advancement. So, it may be hard for everyone to take the bhakti process. So they are encouraged to do karma yoga, jnana yoga, whatever their propensity is. So then they slowly, gradually advance, and then they can come to bhakti level. So it is said, like, though karma yoga is a process for materially attached people, those who are attached materially. So in the Vedas there are different injunctions. Okay, you do these activities, pious activities, ritualistic performances, and you know, and try to give the result to Supreme God. So as in Bhagavad Gita it says, you know, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever austerities you perform, just do it as an offering to me, Krishna says. So they are attached to the activity and results also. So at first they are encouraged through karma yoga to at least give some results, do it as an offering, give some offering to Krishna. So then for those who realize that, okay, in this material world everything is temporary, you know, all the results we get, it's temporary. So then they take to the process of jnana yoga. So in jnana yoga, they have the try to cultivate the knowledge that, okay, this is, everything here is temporary, false. So we want to go to the eternal, we want to achieve eternality, like that. That's the sat feature. You know? So Brahma Satyam, you know, like that. So you want to attain eternality. So then they say Jagat Mithya, you know. So this material world is false. So they try to cultivate this knowledge. And that's a very tedious process. It says in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanvan Mam Prapadyate. So many, many lives of such endeavor, you know, to cultivate knowledge, then they achieve me. So that's a very hard process. You know? And also, it is said if in Jnana Yoga they try to achieve this impersonal, eternal reality. So for a person who is embodied, we are accustomed to this form, you know. We are attracted to the form and we are embodied within a form. So for a person who is embodied, it's very hard to meditate on something which has no form. So that's why in 13th chapter it is said, so it's very hard, it's a hard process, and after much, you know, so much endeavor and trouble, you can realize the eternity feature, you know, the eternal feature. So now the third path that Krishna discusses is the Bhakti Yoga. So in Bhakti Yoga, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita also, like, in 18th chapter, Krishna says, if you want to know me in actuality, like, you know, the word used there is tatvata. Bhaktya mama vijanati yavan yashchasmi tatvata. So if you want to know me in truth, you know, fully, so then you do bhakti. So when you do bhakti, you can know Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, fully, like that. So that's why he discusses all these processes, but he tells the supremacy of Bhakti Yoga, like that. So another, in the beginning verses of this chapter, Krishna tells about, you know, piety and sin. You know, you do good active, pious activities are encouraged in Vedas, like that. And sinful activity, if you do sin, like that, you go down, like that. So in this verse it says there are living entities everywhere, you know, in the heaven, hell, on earth. So how do living entities go up or down? It's like if you are in mode of goodness, do pious activities, you can go up. And if you do sinful activities, you go down to hellish planets. And if you are in passionate mode, you hanker, lament too much, you can stay here on earthly planetary system, like that. So, in heaven and hell, this spiritual advancement is hard. And why is it hard? Because it says, as Jiva Goswami is describing, in purport it says that because if you, you know, this excessive enjoyment and excessive suffering, if you are in that situation, it's very hard to focus on spiritual advancement like that. So we can see like in within, even on this earth planet, you can see like the Western world is rich countries, you know. So they are rich countries. In the rich countries, poverty level is down, you know. Many people have good living standards. So it's very hard to focus on spirituality or to have a God-centered life because you have all the material facilities, so you become comfortable. You have all sorts of comforts, so it's very hard, you know. Why to strive for something higher? They think that they have already got the higher thing, you know. Good car, good house, you've got everything. So what else is needed? Why do you need God, you know? You're like that. So it's very hard. If you are enjoying too much, it's very hard to strive for spirituality. And similarly, you can see some African countries, Somalia or other places, the poverty is too much poverty is there. So then also it's very very hard to focus. That if you are hungry, you will only think to, you know, how to get little food, you know, somehow or other like that. So, you know, you can see on internet the pictures of children who are, you know, bones are coming out and like that. So much malnutrition is there. So in that situation also it's very hard to focus on spiritual advancement like that. But if you go to India, you can find both extremes. There are people very wealthy and then there are very poor people also. So similarly, if you see in the overall picture, in heavenly planets, they have long life, almost no disease, and beautiful bodily features, so much opulence. So in that situation, of course, all the demigods are godly. But they get carried away by this wealth and comfortable situation. So it's very hard. And in hellish situation, in fifth canto, it's described all 28 types of hells. If you just see each hell, how they are being suffered, you know, how suffering is imposed on them. So in that situation, you know, it's very hard to focus on spirituality. There's a photograph also, you know, if you are eating too much meat, they are frying you in the oil, big, you know, big pan is there, and they are frying you. So in that situation, how will you think, you know, what's the goal of life? Goal of life at that time is to come out of that frying pan, basically. So to think, you know, higher than that, it's very hard in hellish situation. So basically we have to see that how this situation is there on earthly planet. It's like there is a balance. So there is some hardships also and we get some comfort also. So this ideal situation is given only for spiritual advancement. So that's the goal. And if we miss that, means we have missed the point. That's a very unfortunate situation. So another important thing for us to think about as devotees is, now we are in we are practicing devotees, and so advancement in Krishna consciousness also, this thing matters, that if, are you enjoying too much or are you doing too much, you taking up too much suffering, too much austerity. So that's a hindrance also. So while being a devotee, if you try to enjoy too much, that then you cannot focus on the real advancement. And also if you try to impose too much austerities on you, that's also very hard. Then also it becomes very hard. You know? So there has to be a balance. In that balance situation, then you can advance spiritually. So it is said, like once Gangeshwar Prabhu was saying in his lecture, when one devotee joins initially, a neophyte devotee, he or she will either do too much of something or too little. You know, They cannot, the neophyte devotee cannot do just right, you know, like that. Either become too much fanatic or do little less, you know. So that's, but this, we have to strike this balance. So that's the whole art we learn by taking guidance from the seniors. Okay, am I doing in a right way or am I doing too much or too less, like that. So, and why is this important? How the, in Srimad Bhagavatam actually, I was reading first canto, it was given in purport, that how this, this balance, how, by achieving this balance, how we advance. So it was given like, our main process of bhakti that we focus on initially is hearing and chanting, you know. So we are trying to chant the glories of Lord or the holy name, and then we are trying to hear. So, and we can see, it's very hard to focus while hearing. So when you are chanting your japa, it's very hard to focus on the holy name, you know. And sometimes in class, you know, it's hard to focus, you know. After class, to remember what happened in the class, it's, you know, you can come up with 1-2 points at most, you know, it's very hard. So why is it hard? Because mind is not pure. So Prabhupada is describing in Bhagavatam, one of the purports. So Prabhupada is saying, because mind is not pure, we have this problem in putting this at, in attentive hearing. So because mind is not pure, mind is going somewhere else. Physically we are there, we are chanting, but mind is somewhere else. Mind rides on a chariot and takes you everywhere. And then after 2 hours you come back and say, okay, done. So this is what happened. So because mind is not pure, we have a problem in attentive hearing. And why is mind not pure? Because we are not pure in action. Our actions are not pure. Pure in the sense, yeah, we are not balanced like that. And why are actions not pure? Because, then Prabhupada tells further, because we are not balanced in our eating, sleeping habits. Eating, sleeping, mating, depending like that. We are not balanced in that. That's why our actions are not pure. So this is the whole cycle. So where we have to catch, we have to have a balance in all that. And in Bhagavad Gita also it says, yuktahar viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta swapnava bodhasya, yogo bhavati dukha. That we have to get this balance and in eating, sleeping, recreation and work, like that. So if we, wake up 2 o'clock or, you know, chant too much or, you know, so that we are not at that level, but we try to do something more. So then that's like an impediment in our advancement, like that. So we have to have this balance. So in eating habits, basically Prabhupada is saying in Bhagavad Gita purport that eating habits, our balance is basically eating only prasadam. So we are eating only prasadam and in right quantity at regulated times. So then we can see that's regulated eating. Sleeping, yeah, we sleep, you know, we should sleep not too much, not too little. If you sleep too much, means you're wasting this valuable human life. Already in Kali Yuga, the duration of life is very short, and you sleep too much means gone, you know, so much time is gone. So if you sleep 8 hours, 1/3 of your life is sleeping. Or, you know, if you live 60 years, means 20 years you slept. Like that. So, and then if you sleep too less, then the mind doesn't work properly. You cannot focus on chanting, on hearing, or doing anything else. Your productivity will reduce in all your services or all your activities if you don't take enough rest. So that there has to be a balance. So that's a practice, you know, with practice. That if we strike this balance, then it's good, you know. Like I can see with myself, I was like till last year I was eating too many sweets, you know. I was saying like, you know, I would joke while in breakfast, you know, there's this whole plate with sections, you know, So half I will have with sweets and half little bit, you know, like the khichdi salad, like that. So I would say this is balance, you know, balance eating. So, but I could see I was suffering basically, you know, I couldn't focus in chanting and, you know, feeling sleepy all the time, like that. What I'm trying to improve, trying to reduce and balance in a right way. So it's very important to have this balance. And you see, even in mundane life, like the sportsmen, athletes, they have very regulated diet. Otherwise, they can't perform well. And in army, they have very regulated diet like that. So even materially, people are taking care so much. So we have to, you know, in army, I've heard they will wake up everyone early morning, you know. It's a very, very strict routine. So that's why we have our routine, you know. 4:30 we have to be here, 4:25 before the conch shell. So that's like the strict regimen, strict. But if we follow that, we will advance like that. So we can discuss a little bit about our position. This verse also discusses how even the residents of heaven and hell are desiring the position we are in now. So what fortunate position we have got now. So to revise its importance is very important. Because we tend to forget. In Kali Yuga, the, you know, memory is very short. So we forget. So that's why we have to repeat these things over and over so that we remember, okay, what situation have we got. So human birth is, there is an example, like human birth is like a boat. So there is this ocean of material existence. And we are like drowning. Living entities are drowning in it. But then if there is a boat, you can be saved. And human body is like a strong boat. Yeah. And the captain of that boat is the spiritual master. He will, you know, steer the boat and cross the ocean like that. And mercy of Krishna is like favorable winds. It will take you in the right direction like that. So that's the importance of human body. You can cross over this ocean of material suffering. So another very nice example is in India. You can see many places there are these fortune tellers, parrot fortune tellers. See, it's very interesting. So what they have is they have a small cage. In that they have a parrot who is well trained. So and then outside the cage he has the different cards, fortune cards. So then people will approach this fortune teller, the teller, you know, what's my current fortune status, just tell me what's going to happen, how am I doing, how are my stars. So he say, oh, very good, come. So I have this Mahabhagavat parrot inside my cage. And then he'll open the door of cage, and then this parrot will come out and pick up a card just suitable for you. So which will tell you exactly what you are going through and what will happen in your life. And then he will read that and the person will give some money and go like that. And what will the parrot get? He will get a small chana, you know, chickpea like that. And then he will eat, take that, go inside the cage and the fortune teller will lock the door again. So this is the parrot fortune teller. So the parrot is so foolish that the cage is open, he's coming out, he can fly, you know. And, you know, eat so many things outside somewhere, you know, like other birds. And he can be free. But no, he goes back like that. So it's a foolish creature. So he gets this opportunity that he can fly like that. So similarly, we in material existence, we are like bound in a cage. We are bound in a cage. And this human form of life is like that release. you're coming out, you get a chance for this duration of your human life that you can transcend this material world. But if we still again go back, that's very pathetic and very unfortunate. And that's the, in Bhagavad Gita it says, that's the greatest danger. So by doing bhakti you can be saved from this greatest danger. You know, so this is the importance of human life. So in human life, if we don't advance and we don't take the spiritual advancement seriously, then it's very sad, like that. And once we get human life, you can see by statistics, just observe that how many people are striving for spirituality. Very few. Like, so most of them are just concerned with eating, sleeping, mating, defending. That's it. So that's on almost on animal platform. So very few people strive for spirituality. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Manushya naam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhye yatatam api siddha naam kaschit maam veti tatvata. That out of so many human beings, very few are striving for spiritual perfection. And out of those who have perfected spiritually, hardly very few know me in truth. Like that. So out of these spiritually perfect beings, very few know Krishna in truth. And as we discussed before, that how can you know Krishna in truth? By bhakti. Like that. So this is our situation. And another important thing about human, the difference between human form and other forms is how in human form we have higher consciousness and we can experience these relationships, different types of relationships. So this material world is like a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So all the relationships here are also perverted, you know. So what are the five rasas that we have in the spiritual world? Shanta rasa, Dasya rasa, Sakya rasa, Vatsalya rasa and Madhurya rasa. So these five rasas are originally present in spiritual world. But because we have this desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, we come here, fall down, you know, and we come here in the material world. But this tendency to enjoy those rasas is still there in a perverted form. So still we try to have these five rasas, you know. If you go in a garden, there is a nice tree, you want to sit under a tree. That's like a shanta rasa, you know, tree is there serving, I do serve you. Then Dasya rasa, you try to employ someone, he'll serve you like that, you know. In India you can find, every home there is servants, you know, they'll wash the utensils and everything. Here you have to do everything on your own. Only rich people, very rich people can do, afford servants. Then you have friends, you know, you're trying to have that Sakya rasa, perverted reflection, you know. You have parents. Parents are trying to have this Vatsalya rasa. And then young man and woman trying to have this, trying to taste this Madhurya rasa. But here in material world, this is a perverted reflection of all the rasas. It's not perfect. So the servant will not serve you if you don't pay him. So that's not a perfect rasa.
What about Vatsalya?
Yeah, so Vatsalya is like, I was about to give an example. So Vatsalya is like, that's also perverted. So I wanted to discuss this past time, how Uddhava, when Krishna sent him as a messenger to Vrindavan, he wanted to show him that what's the standard of bhakti, topmost bhakti. So when he went, he met gopis later on. First he met Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. So and he spent like whole night with them, and they just cried so much, they were weeping like that whole night. And he could see there was no cooking was done. There were cobwebs in the house. No cleaning was done. So since Krishna left, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they were just thinking of him, talking about him, like that. So that's the real Vatsalya Rasa, like that. But like I have come here. My mother is in India, you know, but she is eating sufficiently. You know, she, of course, she has some longing, separation, but that rasa is not perfect in this material world. You know, sometimes I call, you know, and she says, "Oh, can you call later? I have something to do." So she has something else to do also, apart from thinking of me. You know, so that's why, of course, she is busy. She is working like that. That's okay, but the point is that in this material world, all the rasas are perverted reflection of the original rasas, like that. So why not get the real rasas? You know, so that should be the impetus to advance in spiritual life. That we are getting some little shadowy happiness from these perverted rasas. So why not strive for the real rasas? And in that, Krishna is the center. So we can have all these rasas with Krishna, like that. And then, so now our position is so, we are so fortunate that we have got this human body, and we are on Earth planet, and also this is Kali Yuga going on. And Kali Yuga, actually, it's appreciated in one sense in Bhagavatam, that in other ages you had to do so many, you know, you had to meditate for, you know, so thousands of years, do big yajnas, do big deity worship. But now, although Kali Yuga is full of faults, but only by chanting Hare Krishna, chanting the holy name of Lord, you can achieve the same perfection. So that's also our fortunate position. And also another thing, we are in Kali Yuga, and also we are in the golden period of Kali Yuga, in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just appeared 500 years ago. And this 10,000 year period of Kali Yuga is called golden period. So we can take benefit of that. So we are in a very, very fortunate position. And this rarest of thing, which Krishna also doesn't give to anyone, bhakti, we have access to that. We can perform bhakti in association of devotees. So why Krishna doesn't give bhakti to easily? Because you can control Krishna by bhakti. So that's why he doesn't give very easily. So, but we have access to that, at least, you know. So we should try to make full benefit of that. And how to make benefit of our situation is, very important is to have this attitude of gratitude. We should have this gratitude in the heart. We should be very grateful that, "Oh Krishna, you have saved me. I was suffering, I was doing all abominable things. So I'm very grateful to you." It's very important to have this gratitude for Krishna and devotees. So it is said, the person who actually first brought you in Krishna consciousness, the Vartama Pradakshak Guru, we should always think about what he, you know, what great work he or she has done. So we should have this gratitude for him or her, like that. But what happens once we come, we start doing these devotional activities, we think, yeah, yeah, we have perfected, we are Siddha now, you know. So then, that when that pride comes, that gratitude is reduced, like that. So we are not thankful, we become thankless, you know, like that. We forget where we were and what we were doing, like that. And in the beginning stages, this is actually first stage is awe and veneration. So we should have this respectful attitude always. And we should do things, do service as a duty. And then later on, this spontaneity, this spontaneous devotional service comes like that. So it is said that when we have this gratitude and we try to serve Krishna and devotees, by trying to serve devotees, there are some benefits. When we serve devotees and we are grateful to them and we try to serve them, what happens is Krishna is pleased more when you serve a devotee than you serve Krishna directly. Another thing, Prabhupada is mentioning in first canto, that what happens when you serve devotees is you get their qualities. So that's very important. So when we serve someone, serve a nice devotee, and then we get their qualities. And of course they still have that. That's spiritual mathematics, you know. 1 + 1 = 1, 1 - 1 = 1. So materially, you know, if you give something, you don't have that. But spiritually it expands. So when we serve a nice devotee who is serving Krishna and devotees nicely, we get their qualities. And another benefit of serving devotees is you get, Prabhupada is mentioning in purport, that you get this taste of hearing. So we were discussing how we don't have taste for hearing holy name or glories of Krishna. So by serving devotees, we get the taste. So these are the three benefits of serving devotees. And also, so this is the difference in human life and animal life. So, like, God is providing everyone. You're eating, you know, for food to everyone. But animals, they don't have this gratitude. So that's the difference. If we don't have gratitude, means we are like animals. So animals, you feed them, you know, and he would like to have more like that. But human beings, we should recognize that, oh, Krishna is providing us so much. We can't thank him enough, actually. So that's where this offering of prasadam is so important, when we offering of bhoga. When we offer means we are feeling grateful. So it's a simple activity, you know, like in deity worship we do, or we offer different at different times. It's a very simple activity, or at home you can do simple mantras. But this is a show of gratitude that, oh Krishna, you have provided, this all comes from you, so please you take before and then I will take. So this is gratitude. And towards devotees we should be very grateful that only because of this association we can access Krishna, you know. Krishna is present where devotees are there, because they are always singing Krishna's glories. So that's the thing. Okay, so I would like to end there and just summarize. What we discussed today was how bhakti is topmost. It's above karma yoga and jnana yoga. And our fortunate position as human beings in Kali Yuga, on planet Earth, in the Golden Age, in association of devotees, this is a very rare situation. So we should feel very fortunate and have this gratitude towards Krishna and devotees, and try to serve devotees. And this is the way we can advance in spiritual life. So I'll end there and ask if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for a very excellent class. Most of it I missed the other day. Also, by serving pure devotees, because they carry Krishna in their heart, so we are directly associated with Krishna. I think you said partly.
Yeah.
Pure devotee.
Pure devotee, yeah. In Nectar of Instruction, it is said, how to deal with different grades of devotees. One who is chanting Hare Krishna, holy name, we should mentally respect them. And one who is initiated, we should pay our obeisances. But one who is a pure devotee, who is free from this propensity to criticize others, we should actually serve them with our whole heart. So then we get this advancement.
Also, it is said, "Yahan purukhi naam ka hota hai Hanuman, wahi Ayodhya Dwarka wahi bhi Hanuman."
Wahi pe Hanuman.
Wahi bhi Hanuman.
Bhi Hanuman.
Hanuman is the greatest devotee.
Translation.
Wherever Krishna, they will catch it.
Yeah.
The Ayodhya Dwarka.
Yes.
Lord Hanuman, everybody is there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I see there.
Nada.
Prabhupada said in their class many times in New York, you were in arranging a lot of classes.
Yes.
And only one of them came. So Prabhupada said, don't worry. Naraji was there, you see. Lord Shiva was there. So you have to chant, keep on chanting.
Yeah.
And there is the only goal.
Yeah.
So, very wonderful. Thank you.
Any other questions? Mataji was saying, I think, we should be very, like, at the end of the day of her activity, she is very grateful that whatever situation she is in, and we should feel like that, and we should try to, ask Lord for what we already have, and we are not hankering for that, and that can improve our feeling of gratitude. And
gratitude.
So we should feel like I don't deserve this actually. What all I have, I don't deserve. But still Lord has given me. So that's the feeling of gratitude. So I don't deserve, I was so sinful like that. And before writing this great scripture, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is praying like that, and so he has that real gratitude, and then you can actually produce these pure like scriptures and like that.
That's right. So humility.
Yes, humility. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
I notice the three kind of systems of the three groups.
Yes. I think that day we were seeing that video on cosmic planetarium, that it shows there's earthly planetary system, so many planets are there. So this would be my guess, that on human beings they get karma like that, and then lower planetary systems you are reaping the results of your bad karma and you are being punished. Then when the punishment is finished, you come back again. And same way, when you do good karma, you go up. And then, kshine purne martulokam vishanti. When you are finished, your credit is finished of good karma, then you come back again. So on earthly planet, you perform this positive and negative activities. And then, urdvam gacchanti sattvastha, when you do in mode of goodness, you go up. Mode of ignorance, you go down. So this is like a result. And then when you are finished, you come back. And then again, you do. on other, yeah, earthly planetary system. That would be my guess. Would you like to comment on that?
I want to ask you something which sometimes in my mind. People who are in need, how they can get so much prosperity and opulence?
Okay. Yeah, that's the effect of their past karma.
So,
so they must have done something in the past, but now they are doing bad karma, so they'll be fried in oil in next life. So, then even the Yamdutas will feel pity, oh my god. So it's just a matter of time. It's very short, you know. It's like the whole material creation is like ephemerally. So this one life is so short, just after a few years, they'll be somewhere else. They'll get a special body that's called Yamala Sharir. In hellish planets, you get a special body. So in that body, it's like if you fry someone in human body, you fry someone, you will very soon die. This body cannot take so much pain. But there you get body very subtle, that you experience all that pain but you don't die. So they will, in some planet, some hellish planets, they will throw you from top of the mountain, you know, head first, like that, but you don't die. Yeah, subtle Yamala body.
Yamdutas give them hot water and hot oil and everything.
They have all the fun, yeah. They eat meat and as soon as they take first bite, someone comes and put them in oil. Something like that. Yeah, as I said, it's all matter of time, but you can actually here itself, you can see always there are so many people who are suffering. So that's a broad vision. You can see people are suffering, and why they are suffering, that's because of the activity they have done before. So that's why this is how we should learn. So why are people suffering so much? Of course, I think Padma Puran, it mentions how it happens. When you do one activity, so then the reaction is like a seed, in a seed form, you know. And then when you sow a seed, you cannot expect the plant comes, you know, just sow a seed and plant just comes. It takes some time, plant will come, it will become a tree, and then when the tree is in maturity, then the fruit will come. So this is like that. So karma, when you do some activity, so it's like a seed has been sown. And then when the tree will come in future lives, then the fruit of suffering or enjoyment will come. So that's how it works. But you can always see the fruits of previous activities in present situation. So always there are so many people suffering, having cancer, this, that, swine flu, pneumonia. So all those past bad activities. Does that answer your question? Okay, it's 8:30, we'd like to end now. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.